Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello, and welcome to the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast. Hope you're all doing well. The heavens have well and truly just opened here, so if you are happen to be in the Hampshire area, I hope you're tucked up inside. Obviously, joining me, Liam. How are you doing?
All good, thanks, Rich. How are you doing after a week hiatus?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you so much, Liam, for stepping in. It was incredibly late notice. I think it gave you about half an hour's notice before I said you're doing the pod on your own. So thank you very much for jumping in. My little one is doing much better today. And yeah, thank you all ever so much. Lots of people reached out over the last week, just checking in to see how he is. So thank you ever so much for those of you that did check in. Before we dive into the show, keen to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by 5 Yard Dynasty. The 5 Yard Dynasty podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in below the waist men's grooming. We still have an exclusive offer for you. You can use the code 5YARD for 20% off free worldwide shipping. I'll be honest, we've talked about this for a few weeks now. You're probably getting tired, but honestly, it is an incredible piece of kit. Liam is modelling the T-shirt incredibly well. I actually tried out the boxers on a run the other day. I have to say it was incredible. They have very much become my performance boxer of choice, shall we say. But if you're going to wear those performance boxers, you've got to make sure everything's nice and tidy. So make sure you get your Manscaped equipment, because it is truly fantastic. Liam, I saw you're having a little swig there of something, cocktail of choice for this week. What do we got?
Yeah, so today, if you're watching us, this is a rum fix. So that includes just normal white rum, lemon juice, and Cointreau. And this, again, first time I've tried it, and it's pretty good, to be honest. It's meant to be a shot, but I've done extra, so I can have it as an actual drink.
So just an incredibly strong drink. So you're going to be slowing your words by the end of the show.
Potentially, I'm going to have to take it a bit slow today.
Yeah. It looks a nicer colour, I'll be honest. It's not the pink and luminous orange that we've been going for.
I did take your criticism.
Not criticism.
Yeah, I think criticism is the closest to it. Yeah, light ribbing, we'll go with that then. I did take that on board. Last week, I don't know whether you watched the stream afterwards, but I did have another red drink on.
I did notice, indeed. Yeah, it just shows your, your metrosexuality is far stronger than mine.
So, with that, let's just move on really quickly. As usual, we'll start off with the highest scorer. So, this week, we're changing it up a little bit. So, previously, we've been doing 0.5 PPR. But now we're going to just move to full PPR, because I think most leagues are in full PPR now. Standard 4-point touchdown for quarterbacks and no tight end premium. Fine. So
you've finally given into my bullying around not you're obsessed with 0.5 PPR, and I keep telling you the real world is full PPR, Liam.
A lot of my leagues are half PPR, so that's the only reason I tend to do it. And I suppose PPR is not too bad. So quarterback wise, we had Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Matthew Stafford as the top three. Matthew Stafford having a brilliant game against the Bucs, showing the rest of the league that the Bucs aren't this top class defense every week in, week out, and there are ways to beat them. Running backs wise, we've got Najee Harris exploding onto the blocks. So that's our third rookie in 3 weeks to have an absolutely explosive week. Kareem Hunt, that I don't think many people saw coming, and then Ezekiel Elliott after a couple of questionable games, we'll go with that. Wide receivers, we have Mike Williams, Devontae Adams, and Cooper Kupp. So Cooper Kupp finding his way into the top three yet again. And then tight ends, this is the one where you couldn't have predicted the top two at all. Tyler Conklin, who people thought was going to do brilliantly when Smith went down, but then Herndon came in and no one really knew. He went off for, I think it was 29 or something points. Mike Gesicki and then Travis Kelce is still lingering around in that top three. So just put in that emphasis on Travis Kelce or nothing at that position.
I think it's very interesting with the Tyler Conklin kind of make it a breakout game, shall we say, because obviously KJ Osborne has been fantastic through 2 weeks and there's been kind of a shift in terms of the Vikings offense, a lot more 11 personnel, getting those three receivers on the field, and KJ Osborne's seen a decent snap share. But yet here we are and Tyler Conklin's now had a breakout. So does that mean that, you know, KJ Osborne's a thing of the past and we're going to go back to that 11 personnel and the tight end is going to get a focus? One little nugget I've got about the Vikings offense. So they had 5 players receive targets and receptions on Sunday. And those 5 were the starters. So it was literally, Tyler Conklin, Alexander Mattison, KJ Osborne, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. No other player saw a target from Kirk Cousins. So I think we've seen, you know, the people that are going to get those, that work. And I do think it's interesting that through 3 weeks, we've seen 4 fantasy relevant people each week, basically. And it's sort of, is it going to be a seesaw of, are we going to see this through season of, is it going to be a KJ Osborne game or is it going to be a Conklin game? Certainly one to monitor for me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think Conklin is just one of those that is going to blow up every other week or every so often. Kirk Cousins has been extremely efficient. He's not thrown an interception so far this season, which I'm not surprised, but I wasn't expecting that. But enough about the high scores. I'm pretty sure if you've lost, you don't want to be listening about us talking who just beat you or most likely just beat you. So some significant news and sticking with the theme of whether you've just lost and us talking about that probably. CMC went out, or Christian McCaffrey went out of the game after scoring, I believe it was 6 PPR points, with a hamstring injury. Now, we've seen news or reports that he's not going to IR, but the fact that that was even a question makes me a little bit worried over the next couple of weeks.
I think what's amazing with this, and shout out to Edwin Porras, who we had on the show in the off-season and has, you know, was incredible in terms of the work that he put out super quick on this. And he was basically saying that a third of people that suffered the injury that CMC did miss a week, a third of people miss 2 weeks, and then I think it's like 15% miss 3 weeks, or and then the rest miss 4 weeks more. So basically what we're saying is that it's probably a 1 or 2 week injury, which to me is a really good thing, because I think when it happened, I think people were thinking, oh God, this is a sort of 4 to 6 week injury and we're going to miss him. But, you know, hopefully, if you acted quickly, you were able to buy some additional Christian McCaffrey. I know I added 1 share in a Devy League. I don't know if you were able to buy the injury dip, Liam, at all.
No, not at all, unfortunately. In most of my leagues, he was still really, really highly priced.
Yeah, I didn't
buy it on that. So moving on, sticking with the running backs, we've got Dalvin Cook. Concern over the ankle. I know he was inactive last week, and if you played Alexander Mattison, you were definitely happy about that.
Yeah, I think, again, this is an interesting one because, again, to keep going back to Edwin Porras, when it happened, he talked about the potential high ankle movement in terms of there could be possibility this is a high ankle sprain. And we know that those, you know, a normal traditional ankle sprain can be a 1 to 2 week injury, but those high ankle sprains, you're talking more 4 to 6. And the fact that Dalvin Cook was able to miss this week, they've not said it's a high ankle sprain, but I'm certainly a little bit more nervous about Dalvin Cook over the next couple of weeks than I am, say, Christian McCaffrey at the moment.
Yeah, and sticking with the running backs, I know that in the off-season we do say that running backs get injured quite a bit, and I think the past 2 weeks have really proven that. Darrell Henderson, again, he was inactive last week. He could be back this week, but we don't know at this point. We haven't got a lot of news about that one. So that's his ribs. Juju Smith-Schuster, again, ribs, left the game this week. I have a team where I had Darrell Henderson on the bench, CMC, Juju, and then AJ Brown, who we're going to cover in a minute, where I had three of my seven, or I think it was eight, skill position starters go out of the game.
Brutal.
Moving on, AJ Brown, he's considered week to week at the moment with a hamstring. Sterling Shepard, again, hamstring, 2 to 4 weeks, dependent on the severity. Again, we're just waiting for these injury reports to come out and get a bit more information. Is there anyone there that you want to pick up on? Anyone that you feel needs to be talked about a little bit more?
I think the AJ Brown one is interesting, because I think that he's not had the dream start. I obviously talked about Ryan Tannehill in my buy sales article about his kind of lack of touchdowns, and you know that you can put that hand in hand with AJ Brown's slow start. He's now week to week with a hamstring injury. To me, that says he's not playing this week, and he's, you know, potentially 50-50 for next week. As not claiming to be an expert on the injury side, but to me, if this opens a buy window for AJ Brown, I still think he's a top five dynasty wide receiver. I think if you can go out and buy him at the moment for, you know, and two firsts, anything less than that, I think that's an absolute smash. I love buying the injury dip, particularly if it's sort of niggly injuries like this where people are wanting him in their starting lineup. But actually, if you sit him out for 2 weeks and you're good to go, and you've now got a stud at a cheap price. So, yeah, I'm not going out and overpaying. I'm probably not paying what he's worth at the moment just because there is that injury concern. But if I can get any sort of injury discount, I'm very interested in AJ Brown.
Yeah, he's someone I want to talk about next week in my roster management article about buying injury dips, as you've just said. I think that he's going to have a great end of the season, but those contenders are going to want those points now. So moving on, James White has a hip subluxation. I know you took this one on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Considering I've watched the NFL for probably 8 years now, I've never seen this, and then we've seen it twice in the past 3 weeks. So basically, it's the same as Ryan and Fitzpatrick's injury, where the hip joint looked to have popped out and gone back in, or half popped out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Obviously, I'm not an injury specialist, and that's why we have Edwin, and we look at Edwin's articles as well to help us out. But yeah, he's likely done for the season. He was having a really good start to the season as well. I know that, especially in PPR leagues, people were putting him as a wide running back too. I have a league where I had him as my RB2, and I was doing not horrendously, but I could count on him for 10 to 15 points a game. So
I think there's potential that he could be back for the playoffs, in terms of the fantasy playoffs. So I do think if you are a contender, you know, if somebody on a rebuilding team does have him, go and float a third or a fourth round pick, because, you know, he's not getting any younger. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't around in future years. So I think, but I basically don't count third and fourth as anything. So if I can add a player that could potentially help me in the playoffs, could be a sneaky buy. Yes, he could well be done for the season, but why not?
Definitely. Tyler Lockett, knee sprain. So no info at the moment, but it looks like it's an MCL sprain from some of the Twitter specialists that we seem to see everywhere.
Yes.
But it could be 2 to 4 weeks. If it is that, it could be longer. We're just waiting on info on that.
Yeah, so this is, so again, to shout out 4 for 4, this is their injury specialist has kind of suggested that based on the video of him leaving the game at the end of the game, that it was a potential MCL sprain or meniscus issue, which would be out for 2 to 4 weeks if that was the case. Now, I've not seen any confirmation out of Seattle. They've not said anything. It is very much just kind of rumour and I guess conjecture at the moment. But if you can kind of get ahead and potentially sell Tyler Lockett off the back of his incredible start to somebody, you know, pivot to a similar price player. And then if the news does come out in the next 24, 48 hours, once we start getting injury reports once they're practicing, you could be thanking us.
So Shane, because he was having a good start to the season.
Incredible start. Incredible. And I still think he's undervalued as well.
Yeah, he'll be one of those players, like someone we're going to talk about later, that he's just going to be constantly undervalued for the entire of his career, even though he does really well. Rob Gronkowski, no idea why I messed that one up. It's the alcohol's already getting to me, Rich. So rib contusion. It's, by the sounds of it, looks to be just a pain tolerance issue. If he can play through it, he'll play through it. You know what Gronk's like. But the looks of it, it's not anything that could hold him out unless the pain is just too much. KJ Hamler, he's had an ACL tear. So the guy that I wanted, Rich didn't want when Judy went down, has also gone down. So now I'm all on the Tim Patrick wide receiver 2 train for the moment. KJ Hamler. A couple of weeks late.
Yeah.
So KJ Hamler likely done for the season. And then because we don't want this segment to be just bad news after bad news, here's some good news. So Rashad Bateman and Curtis Samuel are eligible to return this week. Now, we haven't seen any news so far, but hopefully we get to see Bateman on the field because he's someone that I was high on in the pre-draft process. And I was still high on him, much higher than consensus, because when he went to the Ravens, I still had him as my wide receiver 3, I believe it was, in the class. Everyone else dropped him to at least 5.
Let's not cast aspersions. I think you'll find he was my wide receiver 2, Liam,
Okay, even after the draft. I'll let you have that one.
An incredible prospect, an incredible, you know, production profile. He was wide receiver 2 in terms of my rookie model, only behind Jamar Chase. I think he was 97th percentile. He's an incredible guy. Yes, he's in a run first offense. The Ravens, I think, are the only offense in the NFL that have had more run attempts than they have pass attempts. But look, this is a guy we've seen. We talked about him last week. Hollywood Brown has had, I think, 2 top 24 wide receiver weeks through 3 weeks, and he probably would have had a 3rd if he didn't drop 3 pretty much surefire touchdowns. If Rashad Bateman's going to walk in and be the number one target in that offense, commanding a 20-25% target share, he's probably going to be a wide receiver 3 at worst. I think, for me, I'm really excited about Rashad Bateman. If you're trying to buy low, this is probably your last opportunity, because I think as soon as he gets on the field, he's going to get people excited once they can see what he can do.
As soon as he gets taken off the IR, everyone's going to not necessarily raise their prices, but they're going to be reluctant to sell because they want to see him before they do anything with it.
Exactly.
But yeah.
Yeah. So moving on to the dynasty stock market. So the first guy is a guy that you hinted at in the high scorers. He was the wide receiver 1 on the week. So Mike Williams, he is wide receiver 2 on the season, Liam. Are you buying that this is the true fifth-year breakout? Are you buying that he is now an elite fantasy receiver, elite dynasty asset, or do you think it's going to regress somewhere back to where he was previously?
So I'm not buying him anymore. I was before the season. In my one rebuild, I did sell him. And now I'm regretting it a little bit, but I liked him as a late round pick. I think you were looking around the 10th round, 9th, 10th, maybe 11th round, depending on how high you were on him. But I think his target share and his touchdown rate is just way too high right now. I don't think he's going to sustain that for the rest of the season. I know that Keenan Allen has also had a 26% target share in the offense, and he's only had 1 touchdown so far. I just think that that's going to revert back to somewhat normality. Yes, I'm not saying that Mike Williams is going to be hardly fantasy relevant, but I don't think that this will keep up. And I do think that Keenan Allen becomes more relevant in the touchdown scene as well.
I think for me, Mike Williams will probably finish as a top 24 receiver this year. I don't think I'd shock anyone by saying that. I think from a dynasty perspective, I'm going to I need to update my survival kit, but I'm probably going to settle him in somewhere in that sort of 24 to 36 range. I think he is a dynasty wide receiver 3. I think I'd be uncomfortable valuing him any more than that. I'd probably throw him in the, you know, the value of a kind of a first, somewhere around your kind of Elijah Moore, Adam Thielen, people like that. I think if you can get any more from that, you know, if you can sell him for potentially wide receiver 1 prices, if you can get a first and a second or 2 firsts based on this incredible start, I think absolutely get it. I think I'd really like the player, and I think the usage in that offense has been fantastic. You know, we've seen that he is getting schemed up and targeted so heavily in the red zone that I think there is going to be some real fantasy value there. I just don't think he's going to sustain this, as I said, wide receiver 2 overall pace. I do think it's going to kind of regress slightly. Talking of obscene target shares, so again, another player you've mentioned, so Najee Harris. So he saw a 20% target share on the season. I saw it was the second highest running back targets in a game since the 1950s in terms of 19 targets. Do you think that, you know, this sort of target share, this sort of usage is kind of sustainable? Do you think that whilst, you know, it's incredible, he's at 97%.
It was incredible seeing him go for touch over 100 yards.
Do you think he's
going to
be,
I believe, he had less than
a running back 1 yard, if they can try and get the offense moving a little bit more, or do you think it's kind of done?
I don't think that offensive line will do do him any favors so far. Like they haven't done so far, and I don't think that it improves much. I think with Najee, he
14
has
attempts
that
for 40
opportunity,
yards,
and he's now shown that he can take advantage of the passing game work, but I think this was more of a freak game more than anything. Deontay Johnson didn't play in this game. We knew that before the game. And Juju Smith-Schuster, he went out during the game as well. So it was basically Claypool, James Washington, if he got onto the field, and Najee. And obviously the two... you're pushing it a bit there, Rich. But yeah... No, I just don't see this keeping up, especially if Juju and Deontay come back.
Ray McCloud
him getting 19 targets again. But I don't think he gets close to what he got. He might get 10 at max, to be honest. And the efficiency as well.
Yeah, I think the usage is incredibly exciting. It's hard not to love the fact that, you know, he's getting this kind of target share. Yeah, but the problem is that I'm just really not impressed with this offense. I think that Big Ben basically needs to just accept what he is, and he needs to get rid of the ball quicker. And I think that this offense needs to kind of change, and it needs to go back to basically what the offense was last year in terms of Big Ben just getting rid of the ball super quick with the occasional deep shot thrown in. And if it goes to that, yeah, I am excited to own Najee Harris. But from a dynasty perspective, I've got real concerns about the offensive line this year. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to produce incredible stat lines unless he's doing all his work in the receiving game. And next year, who the hell knows what's going to happen with this offense? I can't see Big Ben's going to be back beyond this year. Are we really believing that Dwayne Haskins is going to be the answer? You know, Pittsburgh being Pittsburgh, they'll probably pluck someone out of nowhere and maintain as a true contender. But I just don't know if I'm willing to commit to a running back in this offense that I just can't see that ceiling for him at the moment. I think that to buy him, you're going to have to pay probably fringe top 10 prices. And I think I'm not comfortable paying that at the moment. So another riser, you hinted about, you know, the Dalvin Cook injury. Alex Mattison was an absolute stud. I guess this is the argument for handcuffing your running backs. Do you think that Alex Mattison's ever going to be more than that, Liam?
No, I really don't think he does. He is. Cook signed a new contract, was it 2 seasons ago now? I think it was 4 years as well, so... Cook's at least on the books for the next 2 years, I believe. I think Mattison's really good when he's on the field as the number one when Cook's not around. But when Cooks is around, he just doesn't do anything. I really struggle with anything other than sell Mattison now. Because I don't, his price is never going to be higher than what it is, in my opinion anyway. Cook, yeah, could get injured again, but yeah, you've already got that injury now. Sell Mattison while you've got him. Yeah. He did really well, and it's really hard to sell someone after they just put a 20, 25 points. I believe it was the RB6 on the week. It's really tough, but I'd just sell him if I had him.
I think you've got to sell. He's never going to have, in that offense, he's never going to have standalone value. He's literally a backup running back that is only relevant when Dalvin Cook is injured. Dalvin Cook, with his contract, there's no out until 2023. Well, Alexander Mattison's a free agent in 2023. So we're never going to see Mattison in this offense without Dalvin Cook. So, yeah, if I don't roster Alex Mattison because it's not the kind of guy I like to roster, but if I could get probably a second, I'm probably happy selling that at the moment. The next guy is a big riser. We're not going to talk about him too much because I want to talk about him in a bit. But Jamar Chase, again, incredible performance. The final riser, so I know this is one you wanted to talk about a little bit, Liam. So it's Brandon Cooks. So he is currently the wide receiver 6 through 3 weeks. You know, we've seen him produce with Deshaun Watson. We've seen him produce with Tyrod Taylor. Mills has now come in and he's still producing. How far do you think Cooks can take this, Liam?
I think I'm going to expect over 15 points PPR-wise every week at this point. I mean, I think 10 PPR points per week is probably more realistic, but he's just... He's shown that he's not only cute. I saw this tweet the other day. He's shown that he's not just quarterback proof, he's team proof. Look at how awful the Texans are right now. And yet he's still the wide receiver 6 through 3 weeks. I don't really know what else I can say on it. I was a massive fan of getting him after the wide receiver 24. I think he was going the wide receiver 36 to 40 range. He's still only 27. I know that everyone goes crazy once they hit 27, and then when a wide receiver hits 30, then it's all value disappears and it turns into dust. But right now, if you're a contender, I don't see why you're not trying to get Brandon Cooks. I have him in a league, and I've been sent some offers. I won't disclose what they are in case the people are listening, but I've just straight up declined them, not even sent a counter, because I'm not selling for lower than a first right now. He's the wide receiver 6 through 3 weeks, and although I don't expect him to be a wide receiver 1 with this good of a start, he's going to be a wide receiver 2 at the end of the year. Same situation with Mike Williams, in my opinion.
Flipping that then, if you were buying, what would you be willing to pay? Would you pay a first for him?
It depends how much I need another wide receiver like Cooks. I think with him still being 27, I would do That's it incredible. if I still needed him.
How is he still 27? It feels like he's been around about 20 years. That is mental.
Exactly.
If you back to him being on the Saints, then the Patriots, then the Rams, now the Texans, how is he 27? That is obscene.
Yeah, I really struggle with it because people see him as this old person. This is what I was talking about with Mike Evans is another one. People see him as being in the league for so long that he must be old, but he's not actually old. Sorry, Brandon Cooks is 28. Not 27.
Oh, that's it. Selling.
That's what the dynasty community does. But to be honest, with him still being 28, I'm still giving up a first for him if I really need that wide receiver. I don't think you need to in most leagues, but leagues I have, I'm not giving him up for less than that.
I think you can get him for less than first. I definitely believe that. I think 2 seconds is probably about the sweet spot right now. So whilst we're doing your player of the week, let's dive across to mine then. So Jamar Chase, Look, Jamar Chase was a stud coming out. Everybody expected him to be a stud. He was incredible in college. He was drafted ridiculously highly by the Bengals. The expectations were super, super high. And then he's completely blown them and, you know, completely exceeded them. He's currently the wide receiver 11. I'm a little bit concerned about his touchdown rate. His touchdown rate is 36.4%. So we talked about Mike Williams being high at 18%. Jamar Chase is double that. That's
crazy.
I do think that this offense is only going to improve. I think that we're starting to see Joe Burrow trust that knee, be fully healthy. We're starting to see him move around more. When T. Higgins is back, I just don't get how teams are going to be able to cover them, because you've got Jamar Chase is stretching the field so well. You've got T. Higgins, who's an absolute beast in those contested catch areas. And you've got Tyler Boyd beasting underneath. Oh, and not to mention, you've probably got one of the most talented running backs in the league in Joe Mixon. Yes, the offensive line has issues, but teams can't put extra bodies in the box. Teams can't rush, you know, 5-6 guys, because you can't leave Chase, Boyd and Higgins all single covered. So I'm really excited about this offense. I'm really excited about Jamar Chase. I'd probably go out and pay 2 firsts plus for him. He's, I think, still undervalued, just because we talk about rookies really high in the offseason and then suddenly their prices drop once you sort of the season starts and people go into that redraft mentality. He's my dynasty wide receiver 10. If I'm being honest, that could jump up a couple of spots in the next couple of weeks if he keeps producing. I'm all in on Jamar Chase.
Is he your new CD Lamb?
No, he's not in CD Lamb territory yet. CD Lamb's my wide receiver 5. I'm not in that same tier, but he's not a mile off, to be honest. He's the next tier down.
We'll revisit this in a couple of weeks' time then, when he has another 2 touchdowns, 200 yards, and about 700 catches.
If he's going to keep producing like that, I'm going to be very happy, because I do have a lot of Jamar Chase. So then diving into the fallers of the week, Liam. So we've got Kyle Pitts. So I have never seen hype like it in terms of Kyle Pitts post NFL draft. People were telling me he was in DLF ADP, he was the tight end 2, having never stepped on the NFL field. We talked about calling the Jets in terms of rookie tight end production. He's currently the tight end 15. I think people are starting to kind of turn off Pitts a little bit. Do you think this could be a sneaky little buy window?
I do think it could be, yeah. I definitely don't think anyone has him where they did before the season. That offense is awful right now. Absolutely awful. I don't think that O-line is doing any favours to Matt Ryan, which then causes Calvin Ridley to basically be an irrelevant factor, which is not good considering how good he was last season. And I believe Matt Ryan's ADOT is currently ridiculously low, but that's not translating to anything else other than the running back position. We're seeing Cordell Patterson, someone that was a kick returner for the Bears for however many years, 4 years, I believe it was, plus, suddenly become fantasy relevant because he's getting 7-8 targets a game and a couple of touchdowns. And he's, I think, Cordell Patterson's the running back 8 or 9 right now. He's definitely a running back top 15 at least. But Kyle Pitts, I don't see what it's not translating to him. I haven't seen any of the tape to see how much involvement he's having and how much involvement Hayden Hurst is currently having. But I do think that it is a sneaky buy window right now. But I think it could get even better as a buyer in a couple of weeks' time if this offense doesn't get fixed.
I think for me, it's the usage. And he's being targeted heavily. That's fine. But for me, if you're drafting a player who's a tight end in the top 5 overall, you're basically saying he's not a tight end. He's a movable offensive piece. Because if you're going to line him up in line a third of the time, he's just not going to be able to be that kind of elite producer. What I think they needed to do is say, this is Julio Jones. We're going to line him up as a receiver. And in certain personnel packages, he can come in line and block and come in line and release from in line. He's currently lined up. So I've got the PFF stats through three games. He's lined up as an inline tight end 48 times. He's lined up in the slot 66 times. And he's lined up out wide 44 times. So he's being used almost a third of the time in line. He's being used a third of the time from the slot and a third of the time out wide. To me, if he's not, you know, Mike Gesicki is running 88% of the snaps out of the slot or out wide. Why is Mike Gesicki getting used as more of a receiver than Kyle Pitts? This is a complete athletic freak that you've taken so high in the draft to use him as a movable offensive piece. And they're basically saying he's pretty much traditional tight end in terms of the where they're lining him up. And I just can't get my head around it. But I think, you know, I was hugely high on Kyle Pitts, the talent. I think the Dynasty community went a little bit overboard and the price got ridiculous for me. But yeah, if the price is going to drop, I'd pay tight end five, tight end six prices. If I can get him for a first, I'm conscious you're probably not going to be able to buy him for a first when the guy that drafted him probably drafted him with a top six pick. So if you can, you know, do a Noah Fant or a Mark Andrews or Dallas Goedert plus a little something to get yourself a Kyle Pitts, I think that's probably a move to be making. The other faller, Jonathan Taylor, again, we've seen him up as RB2 in Dynasty Value. So I've got a little stat for you here, Liam. So through 3 weeks, he is currently averaging 7 fantasy points below expectation. Okay. So here's the RB28 through 3 weeks. If he was net negative in terms of fantasy points above expectation, he would be the RB6. Okay. He has not scored a touchdown. He has been against some fairly impressive defensive lines and front sevens. I still believe in the talent. I think that the redraft price went ridiculous, but I fully agree that he was a top four, top five asset in terms of dynasty. Are you going out and buying the dip if there is one on Jonathan Taylor?
I really don't think there is a dip right now. I think people have seen that the defenses that he's gone against. But to me, this comes back to I love the talent that he has, but if he can't do it against the top defenses, he's not one of the top running backs for me. Yes, what I say by that is he's not the running back two if he can't do it against those type of defenses. That's it's just as simple as that, in my opinion. I see him as a great player, but a lot of his points last season did come from middle defenses or lower, and that, yes, you expect that, but you see some of the other running backs that play these top defenses do pretty well, and Taylor just isn't doing overly well. He's not doing horrendously, he's not falling off the map, but at the same time he just needs that touchdown production. And I saw a couple of stats earlier, he's one of the worst, if not the worst, running back right now inside the 10-yard line. I believe it was 9 rushes or something like that without a touchdown, and I believe it was a combined minus 1 yard or something ridiculously low like that. I think with Taylor, his price was way too high in the off-season. Maybe it's come down a little bit, but I don't think it's come down enough for me to start buying. I want to see him do this, do what we expect him to do against some of the top defenses before I buy back into him.
I think that I agree with you that the price at RB2 got ridiculous. He's my RB3 and I'm fine paying that price. I think that to me, he's still head and shoulders above all of the other sophomore running backs. I think that the Dynasty RB2 is the toughest question. I think that you ask, yeah. you'd ask, you know, 100 people and they'd probably give you 7 or 8 different answers as to who's the RB2 in kind of Dynasty value. It's basically a pick your poison. It's not a good position to be. But I do believe in the talent. I think he is an incredible running back. I think he's an absolute freak in terms of the size speed. And I do think that a lot of those stats will regress to the mean. And I think we're going to see an uptick in running back production in terms of touchdown production. I think we're going to see, you know, him start to pay off the price from a dynasty perspective. I still think that, you know, him being a first round redraft pick was absolutely ridiculous. Another couple of quick fallers. So Robert Woods, he's the wide receiver 47 currently. Do you think that this offense is now Cooper Kupp's? Do you think that there's kind of the regression coming? He's still seeing a 20% target share. He's just not getting those touchdowns, not getting those kind of valuable touches that we're seeing go to Cooper Kupp.
I think it will get back to somewhat normal or what we saw with the Goff offense, but I do think Kupp is now the wide receiver one there. I was more of a Kupp over Woods guy before the season started, but I do think Woods is going to come back from his, quite frankly, awful start to the season and get back to somewhat normality. But I think Kupp will stay as a top 12 wide receiver so far and probably end up in the top end wide receiver 2 at the lowest range by the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And the final faller, well, it's not a faller, it's a whole group of fallers, and it's the rookie QBs. Okay, we were talking before the season, you know, rookie QBs are pretty much a 50-50 proposition, but apparently all 5 of these QBs were going to be Hall of Famers. We could, you know, start threading the gold jackets already. They all are pretty much struggling. You know, even Mac Jones had a pretty awful performance on Sunday. Are there any that you're seriously concerned about, Liam? Are there any that you're buying the dip? Because I think the value has dipped on all 5 of them, to be honest.
I went out and tried to get Zach Wilson and the price hadn't dipped whatsoever.
Okay.
That's obviously just one person. But yeah, I don't think the value is dropping quite yet. I think a couple more games like this and we might see a bit of a dip. I think the only one that's really unaffected by it is Trey Lance. But I think his value is dipping in another way because Jimmy G, although he's not playing like Trey Lance's ceiling could be, I do think that Jimmy G is keeping them afloat and keeping them in games. Like, look at what they did to the Packers this week. I mean, if that quarterback is anyone other than Rodgers, I don't think they come back from 37 seconds needing a field goal and no timeouts. So I think Jimmy G keeps them afloat. If a couple more losses do come in, then they might look at transitioning to Trey Lance. But I think the rest of them I struggle with. I don't really know what to do because I don't believe their value is dropping. Justin Fields is the only one, really, that if I see any value drop, I'm going out and buying because I truly think this is Nagy's last season. If this continues, it's awful. There was no scheme this week. It was just, let's try and get a quarterback killed. It was awful.
It was absolutely ridiculous. And look, if I've sent out, I think, about 10 or 15 offers for Justin Fields before we jumped on this pod. So I'm hoping that by the end of this pod, I'm going to have bought a few more shares of Justin Fields because he was my quarterback 2 coming out. I still believe in the talent. I still think that he has got elite kind of fantasy production because I think with, you know, even a normal offensive mind, I think he's going to get him out and rushing and moving around. I think that, yeah, Matt Nagy's, it was awful, the scheme. It was awful, everything across the board. But I do believe in the talent. I think that Justin Fields has the potential to be a, you know, top 5, top 6 dynasty QB in a couple of years. So if I can go out and get him for anything less than the first, I'm absolutely doing that. The same with Zach Wilson, the same with Matt Jones, the same with Trevor Lawrence. I think the price could have dropped on Trevor Lawrence. I think we're seeing some bonehead mistakes. We're seeing some really stupid, you know, attempts at passes that he should never even be there. But then you're also seeing some incredible elite arm talent. And some of the throws he's making, there's like two or three guys in the league that should be making. So I'm still in all five. If I can get them for less than they went in kind of the rookie draft, then yeah, I'm actually buying that deal. So our deep dive players of the week, Liam. So do you wanna head us off with your super deep dive?
So I really struggle with deep dive players. As you probably heard last week, my deep dive player wasn't really that deep, nor is this week. I'm going to go with Henry Ruggs purely because of the value dip we saw last season. I think he's got to a point now where everyone kind of gave up on him before the season. I was trying to sell him where I had him. I think we kind of just gave up and thought, okay, he's done nothing year one. He's not going to ever do anything again. And I know that's your mantra, Rich, so I'm not going to step on that too much. But we've seen him start to get into this offense, and Derek Carr's playing absolutely out of his mind right now. He's playing so well. He took down the Ravens. Are the Oakland Raiders 3-0 right now? Who'd have called that division?
I think the Las Vegas Raiders might be 3-0. I'm not sure the Oakland Raiders are
3-0. How have I done that? That's been like 2 years now, hasn't it? So yeah, the Vegas Raiders. Who'd have called that division? The Chiefs being at the bottom of that division after 3 weeks. And then both the Broncos and the Raiders being 3-0. But anyway, back to Ruggs. He's had a 14% target share this over the past 3 weeks. And he's had 24% air yard target share. So that, to me, is saying that he's getting a lot of the deep balls thrown his way, and he's becoming what Nelson Aguilar was last year. I think you're going to see a lot of competition around Renfro, Waller, and Bryan Edwards around the middle of the field and close to the line of scrimmage, but I don't see who else is taking those long bomb targets away from Ruggs. Yes, it does mean that he might become more of a boom bust play, but he's still putting up decent PPR points and then still has that high upside, high ceiling potential. Maybe it's a little bit of a buy window right now before people catch on to this. But at the same time, I understand that you might be a bit more sceptical right now because of what Ruggs didn't do last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it with Ruggs. And I think I've never been off him as an NFL receiver. I think he's a fantastic NFL receiver. I think he takes the top off the defense. I think, you know, teams have to shift the coverage across to him because he is so fast. And I think that from a offensive coordinator standpoint, I think he's a dream because he does change the dynamic and change the numbers in terms of how you line things up. From a fantasy perspective, I just can't buy in at the moment. He's had, okay, one really good week in week two, one solid week this week, and week one was nothing. I just don't think he's ever going to be consistent. And it's just, you know, we talk about this is the exact kind of guy that I just don't want to roster because they're too good to cut. But I don't think you ever get fair value in a trade. And you never feel comfortable starting him. You know, he's probably going to have, in the next 3 weeks, he'll have what he's done in the last 3 weeks. He'll have one absolute boom week where he's a top 12, top 24 wide receiver. He'll have a week where he's in that sort of 10 to 12 PPR points. And then he'll have a complete dud. And, you know, if you can predict which one of those weeks is going to happen when, I take my hat off to you. I completely get the talent, and I think that he could be great. He could be great, but I'm not wanting to buy in yet.
I'm not saying that he's going to be a top 12 wide receiver.
No, I know you're not.
I think it's more of a, he's got so low in people's minds right now that if you buy him right now, I doubt that you're having to pay a second for him. Maybe two thirds at max. And then potentially at the end of the season, you're selling for a second. That's somewhat profit. Yeah, it may not be much, but I think he will improve over the season. And he's shown that he's got that talent to be able to do what he's already done. if he keeps that up for a good portion, if not the rest of the season, I do think that his price rises in Dynasty, and that's when he can potentially sell someone. But he is a year two wide receiver that didn't do anything year one, so I knew what I was getting myself into when I put this on the show sheet.
Well, I'll give you a proper deep dive in our deep dive segment. So I'm going with Colin Johnson, who was a former Jacksonville Jaguar. He made his debut with the New York Giants this week. I'll be honest, this is completely the kind of guy that I never roster. I never want to. He's a fourth or fifth receiver. He's a guy that, you know, you can't get anything for. He's never going to have a blow up due to injuries. However, in this occasion where the entire New York Giants wide receiver corps is currently injured, we could see a boom because of injury. And we've seen Kenny Golladay's carrying a niggle, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, both gone down with hamstring injuries. Evan Ingram's obviously coming back from an injury last week. Kadarius Toney is, you know, can we call him a bust after 3 weeks? He's not showing up at all. But Colin Johnson this week saw in his debut for the Giants a 20% target share, 33% air yard share. If these hamstring injuries do linger for a couple of weeks, this could easily be a guy that could carve out a nice little role over the next couple of weeks, and then you can sell. You know, you can probably go and pick him up off your waivers this week. You know, maybe chuck sort of 5-10% of your fab at him, and in a week or two, if you can sell him for a third round pick, but you've basically got yourself a free third round pick. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I struggle with these type of wide receivers because I also nearly put Tyler Johnson on here after what he did this week. But I just really struggle with the idea of picking someone up like this. You're literally punting for someone to then try and pay for a third. And I think too many people are too clever right now in a lot of leagues, that if they see you pick up someone, they aren't going to pay you for him after a couple of weeks. They're going to wait and see whether you're going to roster him for the rest of the season. When I watched his tape coming out of college, I really liked it. I enjoyed it. But he also just wasn't one of those top guys. All of this could be said about Tyler Johnson as well. I think he's just another one in this world where I liked the tape, but I didn't know how far it would actually go in the NFL. And the only reason I'm talking about Tyler Johnson now is I nearly put him on this segment.
I just wanted to, you know, give this segment its true kind of honour.
Okay,
of,
I, know, see, I see like, now.
We could all sit here and pick, yeah, we could all sit here and pick, you know, top 15 NFL draft picks, you know, a guy in his sophomore year that was the first wide receiver drafted in the NFL. You know, we could all go really deep and pick those guys, but I just wanted to, you know, go a bit deeper and pick an unheard of guy that most people have probably never even thought about rostering.
Okay, I just wait until next week when I pick someone that you've never even heard of before.
I look forward to it. I look forward to the conversation. So our listener questions of the week, Liam, have we got a couple of questions?
We have two, actually. We've got them both from the Dynasty Listener League, which are coming in clutch over the past couple of weeks with these questions. So first one comes from ATM 2016. What is going on with the Bears offense, and what to do with Robinson? So that's Allen Robinson and David Montgomery. We hinted at this earlier. I don't know what's going on with the Bears offense at all. I can't tell you. There was no scheme this week. It seemed like he was, or when I say he, Matt Nagy, the head coach, it seemed like he didn't know what to do. I'm not a head coach myself, obviously. That's why I'm sat here in a chair on a Tuesday night recording a podcast. But it just looked like his plan went out the window within the first couple of snaps.
There was no adjustment. There was absolutely no adjustment. Basically, the Browns, they set up to basically have a guy sat outside the pocket so that Justin Fields couldn't get outside the pocket. And that was like, Matt Nagy was like, oh, okay, I can't roll out. I can't get the guy outside the pocket. He didn't try moving the pocket. He didn't try anything else. He was just like, oh, okay, we can't do that. So Justin Fields just needs to stand in the pocket. oh, I've got an idea. Let's go five out and see if I can get rid of the ball quick. And it just didn't work. Even, you know, the zone reads, you saw the Browns defense were doing the scrape zone read where the D end crashes down. Justin Fields keeps the ball, thinks that, you know, that's the right read. And then the linebacker's scraping across and he had nowhere to go. And it was just clueless. I've never seen an offensive coordinator in the NFL basically come up with a scheme, go, oh, okay, it's not working. Oh, well, never mind. We'll just throw Justin Fields out and see what he can do. We'll go empty and see if he can get rid of the ball quick. It was just basically clueless. And, you know, I see Rex Ryan was saying that he should be sacked because it was either negligence or basically wanted Justin Fields killed. And to be honest, it's hard not to disagree with it. Yeah. If I've got any shares of Bears players, I'm not panicking. You can't panic. If you're trying to sell now, you're doing it wrong because you're selling at an absolute low. I still think that Allen Robinson and potentially David Montgomery have got some value, but I wouldn't be comfortable paying if I'm a contender. I don't want to pay this year. And if I'm rebuilding, they're not pieces I want to buy in a rebuild, to be honest. So yeah. They're a halt as an entire team, I think.
Yeah. I think Allen Robinson is on the last year of his contract. He was on the franchise tag this year. So you could potentially see him move on next year and go into a much better situation. I would much rather take that chance with Robinson. I think Montgomery-wise specifically, again, I think that he's going to improve over the season, but we'll just have to see how that goes because it depends on who is that quarterback and whether they're going to try and get that quarterback killed every week like they did this week. Moving on to the last listener question we have. So this is from Alex Harker. Is 0-3 too early to declare a rebuild for a team that wasn't obviously in a rebuild before the season? So I spoke about this in the latest roster management article that I wrote that went out earlier today. I think if you're 0-3 at this point, it is really difficult to come back from this, but I have seen it happen. I think you hold for at least one more week and we see how it goes for you. If you go to 0-4, that's when I'm saying to the rest of the league, let's just go into rebuild or go retool. If you don't know what either of those concepts are, again, go onto the 5-Yard Dynasty website or the 5-Yard Rush website, and my articles were on there that will explain a bit more on those concepts. But I think at the moment, don't dive out of the window too quickly. 0-3 can come back from, but I think if you go to 0-4, you need to have a proper think about what you're doing.
I think for me, it's difficult to sit here and say 0-3, yeah, rebuild, don't rebuild, because there's a lot of different looking 0-3s, isn't there? You know, you can be an 0-3 and you can have the worst points scored, you can have the worst max points scored and you can basically be a dreadful team, or you can be 0-3 and you've been the second highest scorer each week and you've just been really unlucky. So for me, my little phrase is that I want to be the first to commit to a rebuild, and I want to commit to that rebuild as quickly as possible, but I want to wait as long as possible. Because what I don't want to do is I don't want to say, right, I'm rebuilding, win 2 weeks on the trot, and then suddenly be like, oh, actually, I might be able to compete. So for me, it's in Dynasty at this point of the year, I'm sort of making a decision of I'm all or nothing. And if I'm fully rebuild, then I'm selling off every piece that I can that I don't think is going to help me next year. And I'm not looking, if I'm rebuilding, I'm not looking beyond 2022. I don't believe in 2-3 year rebuilds. I'm looking to turn it around in a year. So I'm looking 2022. So I'm not selling off every single piece I can. You know, if I've got Cooper Kupp, if I've got even someone like Allen Robinson, I'm not looking to sell them off cheaply. Yes, if I can get an overpay for them and a better package than I think they're worth, I'm absolutely selling them. But I'm not just selling off every piece willy-nilly just because I'm desperate to get rid of anyone that can win the points. The key thing to look at, though, is if you are committing to a rebuild, is make sure you know your league settings for draft order. Because what you don't want to do I don't agree with leagues that do it this way, but some leagues will have the winner of the loser's bowl, the toilet bracket, whatever you want to do, gets the number one pick. Well, you don't want to sell off all your pieces, be a rubbish team, and then not be able to compete in the toilet bowl and end up getting the number six pick. I mean, any leagues that do it that way are ridiculous in my mind. But just make sure you know those rules before you start committing to any reason.
Another thing on the rules as well is, I know in all of the leagues that I commission currently, apart from, I believe, one, I have the last seed in the playoffs be the team with the highest max points scored outside of the playoffs. So I have three or five, depending on how many teams are in the playoffs, as just the normal record seeding. But then that last spot is whoever has the best team outside of the playoffs, purely for those teams that go 0-3 really early on and then actually have one of the most decent teams in the league. So maybe your league has something along those lines. I do think that you need to look at the max PF if you're on sleeper, or potential points if you're on MFL or something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that concludes it for the week. We will obviously have a series of articles coming on the 5-Yard Rush page over the coming days. Liam obviously hinted at his roster management series. I dropped my waiver wire article. We've got Danny's Rises and Fallers. Lewis will be back with another future star today. And I will have my Dynasty Buys and Sells again on Friday. So if you're not, you can follow me. I'm at Dynasty Island. You can follow Liam. He's at the FSA Tweets. You can follow the main Dynasty account at 5 Yard Dynasty. And we will see you all again next week.